What would you like other South Dakotans to know about your district and constituency?
Our district is a very unique district. We actually cover 3.5 counties, Tripp County, Gregory County, Charles Mix County, and a portion, the western portion of Bonham County. My wife's family is from the area, and I've moved back here, and I absolutely love it. It's an absolutely beautiful area. We have tons of resources. You know, our counties are split by the river. You know, you always hear East River, West River. But in our area, that doesn't really matter. I mean, these counties are, they will never hesitate to help each other out. They will never hesitate to come together if times need it. And the support that you get for anything is phenomenal. And again, going back to how beautiful they are, I mean, we have the river hills, we have the rivers themselves, we have prairies, and we have pasture and farm ground. You could drive around and find something new to be awed by just about every day. With that, you know, we also have outstanding recreation. Being on the river and with having so many miles of riverfront, we have campgrounds and we have boat ramps and we have access to great resources that a lot of other counties don't get. It makes it a very unique blend of agriculture, ranching, and recreation, and we all enjoy it. We all get to enjoy it as much as we can, and it's something that we take pride in and that we like to take care of. Our area is conservative in the sense that we understand that our resources need to be valued and our resources need to be saved for future generations. And it's something that everyone takes a second look at. If there's something that we need to pay attention to, we definitely do. We know that it is important, and we want to be able to pass things on to our children and grandchildren. And everyone works hard, very hard, to provide that. And just in general, everyone here is not afraid of hard work. Everyone here will do what they need to do to make ends meet. And, you know, and to go back to the recreation, we have world-class pheasant hunting. Some beautiful lodges in our area. Deer hunting is great. Turkey hunting is another thing that is great. And myself, I'm a hunter, and I like to enjoy all of those things. And it's nice to be able to have, again, those resources that we can all enjoy in our area.
Discuss a major issue or a topic you want the legislature to address.
The first one, obviously, is probably the biggest on everyone's mind is the teacher pay. We did get something started this year, or the legislature did, but I think that they can do more to help out with that and to streamline it a little bit more. Another one that's going to be big in our district, and this one is kind of hits close to home since I do work in healthcare, is Medicaid expansion. It's going to affect over 50,000 people, just kind of a rough number, but that's going to be a large one in our district. And another one is minimum wage. Our rural areas kind of get hit hard with the inability to pay higher, but at the same time, we do need to do something about the minimum wage to make it more of a livable wage. And I think those are probably the biggest ones we're going to see that affect, you know, not only the state, but our district.
What legislation or solutions will you bring forward to deal with this?
The minimum wage, to start there, the minimum wage needs to be something that can be more of a livable wage. One thing I would like to see, and I see a lot of discussion about this, is to make it a high enough wage to motivate people to either come off of unemployment or come off of government assistance, you know, in whatever way, be it, you know, what everybody likes to call welfare, things like that. Right now, if you look at the minimum wage versus, you know, being on government assistance, there's no real motivation to work because there's not enough money out there to pay your medical bills, to pay your rents and your clothing and your food costs. So I would like to see something happen with that to kind of motivate people to make that shift, you know, from government assistance to working, you know, even if it is part-time, something that is more livable. With the Medicaid expansion, a big one there is, again, it's kind of a motivator. If we can put over 50,000 people in our state onto the Medicaid expansion, that eliminates that need to work a low-paying job just for the health care. In rural areas, especially ours, you'll see a lot of people where the husband farms or ranches and the wife works somewhere strictly because of the health care costs and how high they are. If we were able to put people under that umbrella of the Medicaid expansion, there might be a shift from those wives or even husbands that need to work. It might give them the ability to go back and work on the farm, or, you know, if they need to take care of kids or grandkids, it will give that ability to them to help out around the house, or even get a different job, you know, one that they might like a little bit more without that burden of paying for health care. With that, it would also help with the IHS funding. A lot of people don't know how that works, but IHS funds it 100%. Medicare it varies on the area on what they pay. Right now they're looking at reimbursements from IHS. So then people that use IHS aren't restricted to just IHS hospitals, because they become Medicaid. So then they're able to go to just about any facility that they need to go to, and they're not limited on where they go. One thing that may help with it is small business growth. There's a lot of small businesses out there that don't make a lot of money, and there's a lot of small businesses out there that don't exist because of healthcare costs, because of the cost to the employee or even the owner of that small business. So if we can get that Medicaid expansion moving, it might spur a little bit of growth in that small business area, which in rural areas is very important, you know, because we need to support, you know, we have a large contingent of farmers and ranchers, but there's nothing to support them in these small towns because there's nothing to help them get going or keep those costs low for them. Well, the teacher pay thing, that is another one that we need to do some work on. It got passed, you know, this last year, but there were some provisions in there. One of them being that out of the 0.5% sales tax, I believe, and I'd have to look it up, but I believe it was 70% of that tax goes to the teachers. The rest goes into another fund. Personally, if we pass something for the teacher pay, you know, we should do it at 100% and not 70. I know there were some tax provisions in there as well that I think we're going to look at changing, or that the legislature wants to look at changing. But that is something that has helped. You know, I think teacher retention is huge, and even just getting new teachers in. We're going to have a large number of teachers that are going to retire here in the next few years, and if we can't attract new talent, then we're going to suffer. And South Dakota schools, in my opinion, are outstanding schools, and the last thing that we want to do is see these schools suffer, and obviously the kids are going to suffer as well. I would like us to stay, you know, in the top tier of public schools.